الحبيب المصطفى. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا إن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. After speaking last week about what the Quran says and how it sets this ummah into three sections, it sets the Muslims of this ummah into three sections. The first, the muhajireen that left their homeland and migrated to Medina for the sake of Islam and to gain an establishment from which they could be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be more free in the way they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah refers to them as the first category of the muhajireen. Following them is the Ansar. The Ansar were those who wholeheartedly welcomed them into Medina and gave them a homeland and set them up to remain in Medina. And then most of the muhajireen remained in Medina for the rest of their lives. Then we had the third category, which we come into. All our job was, or is to make dua for them and is to say that, oh Allah, do not put into our hearts any ill feelings about the people of the past. We have a very easy task to get into this third category. This transformation that took place, which we explained last week, as from being the Asrul Jahiliyyah, being the people of Jahiliyyah, being the people of total ignorance and darkness, the whole world was looking at them as low-trodden people, didn't want to deal with them. But in less than 23 years, you see those same people, approximately 125,000, congregate in Mecca for the Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And most of these people are all reformed and are on one of the best characters that mankind has ever known. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted as their murabbi and muzakki, which means the purifier and their reformer. He helped to purify their souls. He helped to make them the real human beings. He helped to make them the real insan and the real human that we are all encouraged to become and that we are all required to become. That human being who is not just human, who doesn't just pamper his outer self in terms of his physical body, but that actually looks after his heart and his mind and his soul. And he nurtures the way of thought. He nurtures and he purifies his inner feeling to the way he feels about other people, to the way he deals with other people, the way he deals with his family, the way he deals with God, the way he deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way he deals with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These 124,000 or more people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked in, that embraced Islam, at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became the companions of the Sahaba, a very great status they attained. And we do not say that they attained a great status. We merely narrate what the Quran and the Hadith say about these people. One of the biggest certificates given to them, the greatest certificates given to the Sahaba, was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them something which we all aspire for. And if that thing is given to us, and if we are to know today that we have gained that thing, then our life would become totally different. It would be filled with happiness. That is the ridwan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah to be pleased with somebody. That is one of the ultimate goals. If we find out today, if any one of us finds out today that Allah is pleased with them, imagine his happiness. Imagine the feeling that, oh, that's it, I have succeeded. And in the hereafter, I have a wonderful and an eternal abode full of happinesses. And the Quran said this in the life of the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are happy and content. How did this change come about? Could we gain any closeness to this status? Could we also hope for Allah to be pleased with us, even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam isn't there? Even though we don't have the ultimate murabbi, the ultimate purifier, the ultimate reformer, the ultimate spiritual guide. They had the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of them, who constantly reformed them and told them the mishap that may occur with them, the slips that they may make. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would constantly reform these slips and these mistakes, and he would point them towards the right. Today, what do we do? Today, we do not have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with us physically. However, this doesn't mean that Allah left us isolated. No, we have the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have the Quran. We have the Quran and we have teaching from the Quran. To understand this, I'm actually building up to what we will speak about in the next few weeks. I want to cover many of the illnesses of the heart like anger, hatred, jealousy, envy, and so on and so on. And then the good character. For instance, to put our trust in God, to have full tawakkul and dependence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be grateful to Allah for whatever He has given us, to make qana'ah, to suffice and be content, contentment in this world, to be actually content and not every day have a new desire for something else, which we then run headlong into and we forget all the things that are to do with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the akhlaq hamida and akhlaq razila, the good character and the bad character, which I want to deal with independently in the next few weeks. Now, before we get into that, we need to understand why it is so important. Number one, let us understand who we are. We are called insan in Arabic. Insan means human being. This is what we are called, insan. What exactly are we in terms of being an insan? This is what we have to ponder over today. Being an insan, does it mean that it is this flesh and blood and these bones that we are made up of? This nose and eyes that we use, is it these ears that we use to listen with? Is this what an insan is? These things are also done by other animals. Other animals also are made up of flesh and blood. Is this what we call an insan? Let us take an example. There is an influential person in his family, in his friends. While he is alive, everybody is adhering to what he says because he is an influential person. He is respected. They do what he pleases. They don't get on his wrong side. As soon as this person dies, as soon as this person's soul leaves him, then immediately everybody wants to have him out of the house. They don't want to keep him any longer. They would rather have this corpse, this flesh and blood, and this mass of bones in the morgue or in the mortuary. And then they want it into the grave as soon as possible. They don't want it in the house anymore because if it remains in the house, it will smell the whole place. Is this an insan? Is this the same Zayd, Amr or Bakr? Will they still refer to him in the same way? Will they still deal with him in the same way? No, they want him out. They want him to be resting in his grave. What has left? What transformation has occurred? What difference has there suddenly appeared? All that has happened is that his soul has left him and his heart ceases to pump. So if we understand from this that it is the heart and soul of a human being which are what makes him the real insan, that makes him the real human being, that makes him the ashraful makhlukat, the most superior mankind, the faculty, the inner dimension that is given to him, which he uses, which controls his every mode, which controls his every feeling, which controls his every action. Not like an animal that just needs its food. It hunts its prey, and it eats, and it's filled and content. We have more feelings than that. We hope and we aspire for greater and higher things. Now, this is what makes us an insan. Let's understand it in another way, that this human being, this form, is made up of two dimensions, two worlds which are separate from each other, yet they are connected. They are very different, but they are very much connected. The outer dimension, the physical dimension, is the dimension, for instance, we have faculties of smell, of sense, of touch, of hearing, and of seeing, and so on and so on. This is our external self. And then there is another dimension of the thoughts that we have. The hatred that we may feel about somebody. The happiness that we feel from time to time. The sadness and grief that comes into it. The excessive anger that may come into our hearts. This is a totally different world. This is another dimension. So now we understand that these two dimensions are totally different, but yet they are linked. That this inner dimension lives in this external self. But it is the internal dimension which, if it ceases to function, the outer dimension will cease to function. If a person becomes paralyzed, his thoughts and his happiness and his grief and all the other feelings that he may have will still remain in his heart. And he will still continue to think of those things, and they will still continue to either make him happy or sad, whatever the case may be, even though his body is not functional. One step ahead. Just the way our outer dimension, our external self, sometimes becomes ill, contracts a disease. We need medication, we need to go to a doctor that gives it some form of medication, and sometimes we become better in a short time, and sometimes the illness remains for a long time. In the same way, our inner dimension also contracts diseases, also becomes very ill. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran about the munafiqeen and the hypocrites, fi qulubihim marad, that in their heart is an illness. One of the severest illnesses that a person could have is what the munafiqeen had, that outwardly they expressed Islam to be in the good books of the Muslims, and when they would go back to their friends, they would say that no, we have not left the deen and the religion of our forefathers, and we are only saying good things to them, just to be with them and to see what they're doing, and just to be in their good books, but we do not believe them. They had this illness in their hearts. We all have this illness in terms of maybe excessive anger, hatred for somebody else, ill feelings towards other Muslims and towards other people, jealousy for what somebody else has, maybe a position, maybe some form of knowledge, or maybe an amount of money that the other person may have. We feel jealous. We feel that we must wreck that person's life. These are all spiritual problems. The problems of the inner world, the inner dimension. Now the Sharia hasn't left anything untold. The Sharia, just as it tells us to reform our outer self and encourages us to pray and to worship Allah and not to steal and not to rob and not to curse and not to lie and so on, something that will land us into trouble physically. Just the same way it has paid attention to our inner dimension, and it has told us to reform our thoughts in the way we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about His creation in terms of our families, of our friends, of the people around us, of the Muslims, of the non-Muslims, of the way we deal with things in this world, how we deal with worldly things, how we look towards the hereafter, how we deal with our work and what we should work for, how we should obey and so on. It has dealt with all of these things. And the Sharia tells us all of these things. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent down. One of his major functions was to teach them the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other very great function was to actually purify them, which has to do with the inner soul. To purify them. To make sure that their anger, which may be excessive, may be cut down. This unhappiness that they may feel towards somebody, the hatred and malice they may harbor in their hearts against somebody else, that be cut down, that be eliminated, and it is replaced with better treatment of that person. All of these things have been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is referred to by different terms. For instance, one term which refers to it is called ihsan, which means the perfection of faith. The perfection of faith, ihsan. Another one of the words which I use, which has become a very blamed term today, is tasawwuf. Because a lot of people out there are using this term, tasawwuf, for personal reasons, to gain some form of eminence, to gain some form of popularity, and so on and so on. So many people are looking down on tasawwuf because of these certain characters. But if we look at tasawwuf in the sense of purification of the heart, in terms of ihsan, in terms of zuhd, in terms of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way He has told us to worship Him, then there is no problem with that. It is the exact thing which Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam about in a congregation of sahaba. He said, "Mal ihsanu ya Rasulullah?" What is ihsan? What is perfection of faith, O Rasulullah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam told him what the perfection of faith was. He answered him, he said, "Al ihsan an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, fa in lam takun tarah فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ." That ihsan is that you eventually reach such a status in your worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you actually begin to feel and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning you feel His presence. You don't see a physical form, but you actually see His signs in everything that you do, and you worship Him as though you are standing in front of Him. And if you can't get to this higher status, then the slightly lower status is that you, at least this thought comes into your mind and you have this conscious at all times, regardless of what you're doing, that Allah is watching me. This is the perfection of faith. And this will only happen if we rectify our hearts. How can we reach this status that Allah is watching us and we fear that? If we have hatred for somebody else, If we have excessive anger at something small occurs and we jump up in rage, if we become despondent and hopeless in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very quickly, something bad happens to us and immediately we start complaining of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we listen to the Sharia from the beginning, maybe we may not have got into this mess. So in the coming weeks, this is the subject we will be speaking about, taking each one at a time. One day we may become those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the people of the heavens, when a person dies and his ruh and his soul goes up to the heavens, then they say, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul khabitha, that, oh, degenerated soul. They address it in those words. If it is a bad person and he has died and his soul goes up. If a person has reformed himself and he passes away and his soul has to go up to the heavens, and then they address it by saying, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul tayyiba, oh, pleasant and good soul. The same thing is said to him by the Malakul Maut, the angel of death. When he comes, he addresses him about whether he has a good soul or a bad soul. And from that time, the person goes into fear and falls into fear as to what is to happen to him next. So inshallah, if we listen very carefully and we all try to work together, myself and everybody else, towards what has to be said in the near future, then inshallah, we can aspire to such heights where the angel can say to us, Ya ayyatuhan nafsut tayyiba. So I end my talk here with these words. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, it explained what I explained today in just a sentence. The hadith is, Ala inna fil jasadi mudgha, idha saluhat, saluhal jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat, fasadal jasadu kullu, ala wahiya al-qalb. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a warning tone, he said that in a human body, there is a piece of flesh. It's merely a piece of flesh, which the dictionary would define as just an organ of the human body, an organ of an animal that has a pump force which allows the blood to circulate in his body. But the people of Ihsan and the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Ahlul Qulub wa Ahlullah, they will explain this to be the heart as another dimension. And this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he explained it. He said that this piece of flesh in the heart, if it is perfect, your whole body will be perfect. And if it has to become fasid, and it has to become defective, if it has to fall down spiritually, then your whole body will also fall down spiritually. And he said that this piece of flesh is the heart. And this is the heart that we need to work towards, not really our bodies. It is the heart that will take us into the hereafter and that will take us to the high status by just nurturing our body with the different foods and different creams and so on. By just nourishing our body, it is not going to take us anywhere in the hereafter. It is nourishment of the heart, the qutul qulub, the nourishment of the heart that will actually take us to height in the hereafter. Jannatul Firdaus. Wa akhiru da'wana anna alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.